Welcome to It's Better Here, the official podcast of the Producers Co-op. Whether you are out in the yard, the field, the pasture, or the barn, we have everything you need. It's Better Here. Welcome to the show.
That's right. We're back. My name is Jason Dias. Her name is?
Mandy Jo.
It's been a little while, but you've been busy because show season is the busy season around here. But the work paid off. We had some big wins, didn't we?
Yes, we had to skip February. Things get wild around here between San Antonio, Austin, and the Houston shows. But yeah, had a lot of success with our local students and also, you know, some big wins on a big stage in Houston, Austin, and San Antonio. So really proud to play a small part in those people's success.
Absolutely. A lot of the champions eating the co-op feed.
That's right.
Like I said, I've been tempted to get a bowl of that stuff every morning before I get my day started because it obviously pays off. You've heard the phrase or the saying, it's not my first time at the rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
On February 14th, Valentine's Day with my wife, we celebrated Valentine's Day by celebrating my first time at the rodeo. I loved it. I could have done a whole show about it. It was fascinating. I might still do a whole show about it. I'm so glad that your world has this place to celebrate what it does. And it was very gratifying to see so many students there from schools and places that obviously don't spend a lot of time in the country seeing these things. And it really was exciting. I think my favorite part, I told you, was the auction.
Yes.
I have a habit of speaking fast. And I was, this was fast. And in the middle of the whole thing, I'm sitting there watching. I kind of reached up and scratched my cheek. And my wife was like, don't put your hand up. I have to call Mandy Jo. Hey, how many of these heifers can I get in a Toyota Highlander? You know, it would have been really, really bad. But it was awesome. I found the whole experience amazing. Thank you, San Antonio Rodeo. They give veterans free admission. So
awesome.
I didn't even know that. Parking a little expensive, but that's everywhere. That's everywhere. But they made up for it with the free admission. Well, now we're kind of switching from show season to spring and summer gardening, and we got a treat today, don't we?
Yes, I'm so excited about this one. I knew Liz from a past life, and her husband have always been so impressive to me. Their entrepreneurial spirit and this company that they have created is so awesome. They do such good things in San Antonio and in the community, as well as for their customers, so this is going to be a really good one.
It really is, and folks, we've got the Uprooted, because we're going to be joined by Liz Campanella with Uprooted, and we've got that website right there in the episode description. I highly encourage you to take notes on the interview because everything's going to grow beautifully for you this season. And it is a fascinating company they've got going on down there in San Antonio. So you got a great interview on tap, and we're going to do it all right after this. Hey, this is Jason reminding you to visit us in-store, online, sign up for the newsletter, and follow us on social media. Whether you're raising the next championship steer or growing tomatoes in your backyard, it's better here. That's right. We're back from the break. We're now joined by Liz Campanella from Uprooted. Hey, Liz, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, y'all. How's it growing?
It is so good to have you. Yeah.
All right, Liz, first off, tell us a little bit about yourself and your company.
Yeah, so my name's Liz. Everyone that knows me calls me Lizard, so just call me Lizard. And basically, I own a company with my husband, Nick, called Uprooted Gardens. And everyone's like, what in the world is that? And so hence the name, Uprooted. Everything's up and rooted. We specialize in raised bed gardening, vegetable gardening, anything edible, useful that you can be growing in your yard and just instead of just grass, we're your people for that.
That is awesome. Now, I know I've been spending a lot of time out in the yard recently. This is something I have a particular interest in. But give us a game plan for this time of year and what plans people should be making over the next few weeks getting into summer to make sure their gardens look great.
Totally. So, I mean, we're in the thick of planting right now. You're definitely not too late, you know, so definitely use this weekend as a weekend to get your garden prepped if you haven't already. Take out your spent crops. There's a lot of gardens that it didn't get cold enough long enough, so there's a lot of lettuces and cruciferous crops still growing on in there. So, you know, making the decision as a gardener to either take those out and then, you know, replace them with things that will still love the heat that's coming up and things like that. So first and foremost, I feel like step one is always just make decision of what is your open space, what do you want to clear out, and then from there, we always recommend, and we're gardeners, of just chopping things at the soil level and leaving that root ball to die out. And really the big reason is because if you're taking out a bunch of big plants that sometimes have large root balls, they're holding on to a lot of soil. And so what you're doing is basically when you're shaking off that big root ball, you're solarizing the soil microbes that love to just have little parties and feed your roots underground. And so solarizing basically means you're killing them. And so if you're just chopping roots at soil level and just, you know, leaving stumps to be, things will die back. It'll actually add some nitrogen to your soil, and it'll still free up that space without, you know, over time slowly killing your soil by just shaking all these root balls full of soil to that top level. So I would say that is, like, number one and number two are just identify space, get some things cleared out, and then number three is use either good organic compost, a soil conditioner, something that's just going to give some organic material back into that soil, feed it, usually 2 to 3 inches, unless you, you know, soil dramatically dropped. Maybe adding a bit of potting soil wouldn't hurt as well, just to keep adding in those other microbes, mycorrhizae, perlite, coco coir, things like that, just to keep the soil blend from getting too compact. So topping off with things like that are, I would say, is definitely step three. And then four is get your garden plan. Everyone wants to run to the nursery after you have a cleared garden, and before you do, I would say definitely figure out a plan, because it's really tempting when you go to the nursery just to buy a bunch of plants, and then you come home and you're like, actually, I don't have room for half of this stuff, and then you start overplanting, which then can cause a lot of other issues too. So before you run to the nursery, get a plan together, and then once you do, definitely go ham at the nursery, have some fun, find some varieties that maybe you're not familiar with, and then go home. Plant, and last but not least, always, always fertilize when you're planting, and then mulch. Mulch for us in San Antonio serves two things. It's going to lessen the evaporation of soil moisture, which in turn you're going to use less water to water your garden, because veggie gardens do take up a good amount of water, so we want to be water conscious. And then also it's going to keep the soil level, the temperature level down. So, you know, as we near these 100-degree temperatures, which unfortunately for us was early May last year, you know, hoping it's a little later, but doing that will ensure that your soil temperature is going to stay at a more reasonable temperature for peppers and eggplant and things that do like it hot and will love the summer, but they just need a little help. So I would say, you know, if you follow kind of that order of plans, you should be setting yourself up for some success.
Awesome. That's a fantastic game plan. Taking notes over here. Talking about at our stores, you know, soils and compost. We have Medina products that are organic that can help put some of those things back in the soil, as well as bulk seed and things like that. So what are some of your favorite
Absolutely.
Products to be successful?
You know, honestly, just finding a good, you know, all-purpose granular fertilizer for me, guys, that just is going to monthly feed. So obviously using that when you're planting, but also just getting on a monthly feeding schedule, because granular, it's, you know, meant to be a slow-release fertilizer. And what that basically means is every time you're watering and it's raining or, you know, it gets scratched into the soil, it's going to release the nutrients down to those roots. And so for us, especially on maintenance gardens, we always love to use a granular fertilizer because it's just, it's going to be there. We always know it's like a multivitamin for a garden. And so it's just, if you think about a garden like a human body and it's like, oh yeah, I haven't given it its vitamin in a month, it probably needs it. And so, you know, just as much as these plants are expected to feed us, we need to feed them to feed us. So I would say just, if anything, that's always the biggest miss I see on garden coaching sessions is I'm like, when did you last fertilize? And they're like, I fertilized when I put the soil in 2 years ago. And it's like, okay, that's number one, one of the big problems. Getting on a fertilizer plan is like the biggest.
Yeah, what do you think the best fertilizer ratio is for a vegetable garden, like a 13-13-13, or what's your looking like on those?
You know, if you just want to, if you're just starting out, I would say definitely like a 13 all across the board, just to, you know, get used to just using a fertilizer. And then really understanding what those three numbers mean, because a lot of people just kind of look at it and it looks like a locker code or something. And so understanding what those numbers mean, so the first one being nitrogen, it stands for NPK, right? So nitrogen, that first number, you can kind of think of that as when you're wanting plants to push a lot of green growth and, you know, just vegetation, like lettuces and things that you necessarily don't want to flower, or new plants. Having a higher nitrogen number is, you know, where you want to be. And then that middle number, phosphorus, is kind of when you want things to bloom and fruit and flower. And so depending on what you have growing, if it's strawberries and tomatoes and peppers, you know, as the season grows on, pun intended, you might find yourself wanting to go more towards a phosphorus higher number, you know, during that fruiting stage, and stick to a nitrogen higher when we're first planting, things are getting used to rooting and its new home. And then that last number, K, it, not to say it doesn't matter, but it's more of just like an all-purpose. There's not really a specific reason that it's there per se, as far as like whether it's vegetation or flowering. It's more of just like that multivitamin at the end. So, I mean, as you get going as a gardener, I think for sure you can start to play with those numbers, and you really can start having some little adult science experiments. But for the beginning, I feel like just an all-purpose, you know, consistent number across the board is just going to be feeding your plants. And then if you do notice, you know, like, not getting as many blooms on my tomatoes as I think, obviously maybe up that middle number, the phosphorus.
Wow, that is so good. We're visiting with Liz Campanella from Uprooted, and she's just explained to me why I can't grow anything, because I was putting X's all down that list of things that you were telling us to do. You know, some people have the green thumb. I have whatever the opposite of that is. I guess the rusted middle finger or whatever. I don't know. I've had a lot of success with my garden, and so you've already given us some great advice for beginners or people that maybe haven't had a lot of luck with vegetable gardening. Best advice, listen back to this podcast before you do this. What about someone like my father-in-law who has successfully gardened for several years? What should they do? What kind of things will take them to the next level? And what are some cool new things to try and challenge a guy like my father-in-law that spends every single afternoon out in his garden?
Totally. You know, first and foremost, I always think just like get out of your comfort zone, whether it's like, I've never grown eggplant. And it's like, okay, well, if you hate it, obviously don't grow things you don't like to eat because other things will. But I feel like challenging yourself and growing varieties that you haven't before, and also changing up your planting plan. It's not just for you, but it's for the garden. And so it's like, if you can think about a gardener, and we deal with a lot of them where you meet them and they're like, this is the tomato bed. I always grow tomatoes here and they do the best here. And it's like, okay, yeah, that might be definitely where the best sunlight is. You know, there might be some parameters, but it also just might be fun to change it up. And just, that's not the tomato bed anymore. It's a cut flower bed. Let's make it a basil, you know, and change things up and, you know, explore different styles of gardening. Like, we don't truly follow one style of gardening. And I think that's what kind of sets us apart, is we kind of mix square foot gardening with companion planting, with obviously the crazy Texas garden palette that we have here. But I mean, in that, it's like be so different from season to season and really taking advantage of, we have a true spring season and we definitely have two fall planting seasons. So it's like kind of changing things up and, you know, not getting in that rut of this is the tomato bed and these are always where the peppers go, and just seeing what's out there, what other people are doing. I love just jumping on Pinterest and just finding other things that other people are doing, whether it's like a different border or a different trailing plant, or, you know, just getting ideas of how to space out plants, how to situate them, instead of having everything in like these perfect little farm rows that I think in school books a lot of us learn, like, oh, that's what a garden looks like. It's one consistent row of carrots. It's one consistent row of lettuce. And that's great, but it's also what can we mix in between to help organically, you know, repel pests or just have a mixture in your garden and not just be, like, in the same little zone all the time.
Well, you've given us a lot of hints and tips and tricks and things to do. So obviously the goal of a vegetable garden is for it to be productive. So what are some ideas on how to use the fruits of your labor?
Oh, my gosh, totally. It's so funny you ask, because I'm actually doing a segment tomorrow on SA Live about this. And so, you know, I feel like a lot of people, they get in the rut of, I have a bunch of this, I need to eat a salad today. Or I have a bunch of basil, I need to make pesto. And it's like, there's a million different ways to use an herb or to use an abundance of what you have in a harvest. And so trying, again, to think outside the box and thinking about, like, if I can't just cut it up fresh and, you know, eat it tonight for dinner, what are some ways, if I have a surplus, can I can it, store it, pickle it, preserve it, make it into an herb salt, you know, gift it to friends in like a unique way rather than just like a big HEB bag full of like some produce. But I mean, I find a lot of our maintenance clients, especially when, you know, right now herbs are popping, like basil and oregano and thyme, they're really full. And to some new gardeners, sometimes that feels a little overwhelming and like it's robbing space of valuable vegetable space. And so, yeah, taking, you know, a good haircut to those, about a third of the plant when it's really pushing a lot of, you know, good, healthy growth, it's going to encourage that plant to keep growing. But also, then you have a surplus and say it's thyme, let's make a thyme simple syrup. That's fun and easy to Google. You need three things, thyme, sugar, water, and a little pan. Or you could mix 50-50 of like a bunch of herbs and kosher salt, put it in a food processor. You basically are making like a green salt. And then from there, put it on a baking sheet, low and slow. So the lowest your oven can go for usually about 2 to 3 hours. It's usually 180 to 200 degrees. Once you see those herbs kind of lose that bright green color and they look dried as if you bought them in a glass jar from HEB, well, boom, did. You just did that, but you didn't buy it. So then you can jar it, give it to friends. You have a fun salt for menchiladas and margaritas and Bloody Marys and things. So it's like thinking outside the box and, okay, yeah, I have a bunch of thyme, but, like, what's a cool restaurant I went to and what was a cool cocktail I had? Oh, yeah, it had basil syrup. I can make basil syrup. It's not that hard. I think just getting out of the comfort zone and jumping on Google or Pinterest for a second and just typing in thyme plus random recipe and just see what comes up. I think that gardens create a lot of fun and exploratory moments to have.
Wow. So you've already given us so many great secret tools of the trade and words of wisdom. I wanted to ask you this final question, an observation that I've certainly made about gardening. It wasn't something that I ever thought I would enjoy doing. I'm on a big kick about, you know, I've quit almost all of my social media platforms. What I find about being out in the garden, being out in the yard, is that you're not doing any of that digital stuff. It is a break from all of that. And I believe categorically that gardening, getting your hands in the dirt, getting your hands in the earth, growing something that is good for you and for other people is a tremendous benefit to people's mental health and wellness. And I wanted to ask you if you agreed with that.
Oh, my gosh. Hands down, 100,000,000%. Ironically, have psychology degrees from UTSA, go runners. And
go runners, Q&O.
Finding our, there we go, first up. So it's like, ironically, it's come full circle. And, you know, having that kind of knowledge obviously is great. But then I think a lot of people think like, oh, you don't use it in gardening a lot. But it's, I mean, in that, I honestly don't think I've ever met an upset person in a garden unless they've been stung by a bee. But, I mean, you hit it on the head. Mental health, there's actually scientific proven, you know, research that there's microbes in the soil that are the exact same, you know, chemicals that are in an antidepressant prescription pill. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, why would you, you know, at least try getting your hands in the soil if you're down and sad? Then, you know, just run to the pharmacy and grab the next pill that, you know, hopefully will make you feel happier. It's like, let's actually get back to our roots, pun intended again, and get back to where we should be. And, like, this is how humans evolved, is to be outside, to grow their own food, and to be one with nature. And so getting that vitamin D, getting your hands literally in that soil is getting you in contact with those same chemicals that are in those quote-unquote happy pills. And so it's like, it's free happiness. Like, why would you not? And I mean, one of the coolest things I think Nick and I have seen through our career on this is we had put a garden in at like a retirement home kind of situation. And there was this one patient, his name was Ed, and he was the coolest guy, but he did have a lot of dementia and just memory loss and things like that. But anytime he went out into the garden and he touched a certain plant, and the one that comes to mind for me is lavender, he would touch it, smell it, and then immediately just talk, ramble sentences of memories of his childhood and his mom used to grow lavender and how they used to harvest it. And his doctor came out one day and he was like, this is insane. I haven't heard Ed speak a full sentence in over 2 years and he won't stop talking. And he was like, what were y'all doing? How did you spur this? And I was like, honestly, I didn't do anything. It was the plant. And I think it gives me chills every time I say that story, but it's like, it's so true. Plants are powerful.
Absolutely. Wow. And we all know that the olfactory senses sparked some of the greatest memories in the past. So I can certainly see how that would be the case. Well, I think a couple things. First of all, we pretty much do a farm and garden agriculture show, but because the co-op has great products for your yard, we wanted to have you on. But I do believe this is the first time we've had two roadrunners outnumbering the Red Rider with Mandy Jo being from Texas Tech. I don't think that's ever happened before, has it, Mandy Jo?
I don't think so.
Ooh, feeling the pressure, huh, Mandy?
Yes, two UTSA alums on the air. That's pretty unique. Listen, thank you so much for all of this tremendous input. We really appreciate your time and your knowledge, and thank you so much for joining us on the It's Better Here podcast.
Definitely. Thank you guys so much for everything. I am so excited to see how y'all get growing this spring.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot of information. I have no excuse not to have a successful garden this year, do I?
That's right. No, she knows her stuff, and I'm sure she'd be happy to answer any questions if anyone had any. And like we talked about in there, we've got a lot of things at the co-op to make you successful with those things, compost, soil, seed, all of that. So give us a call, and we'll help you get started, too.
Including the secret ingredient that I did not know about, the ever-present mulch.
Yeah.
I have always used that for decoration, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Red and black mulch kind of matches my home. I did not know that that helped with the things that she described. And so I'm looking forward. I love packing that mulch into the back of the Highlander and just spreading it. And I thought one of the most interesting things she talked about was that experience with the gentleman who was dealing with some memory loss in lavender. I think there's tremendous potential for gardening and being out in, you know, putting your hands in the dirt, getting your hands dirty, because I think that's just a natural human. You understand what to do.
Right.
You know, the first person way back when that had a watermelon was like, oh, look, watermelon seed falling ground, new watermelon grow. I think that's just something that is just human and innate, and I think there's all kinds of potential. And I know you have a house. Do you do any gardening at home?
I am more into the flower gardening.
Flowers, okay.
I do have a couple peppers and cilantro every now and then, but our customers are such avid growers that we will be fully stocked on tomatoes and squash here that I don't have to. They do it for me, which is awesome.
That is awesome. And like I said, made a little history today with two UTSA Roadrunners to one Texas Tech Red Raider. That doesn't happen very often on this particular show. Hey, it's great to be back. That was a great show, and we look forward to talking to everybody soon. My name is Jason Dias. Her name is Mandy Jo. And whether you are out growing a beautiful garden or in a tastefully appointed townhome in downtown San Antonio,
it's better here.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon, lettuce, and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe, but don't get a heart. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer, all winter without them, culinary bumps. I forget all about the sweating and digging. Every time I go out and pick me a fish, homegrown tomatoes.